In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Precious in the sight. Is the death of his... Let's start over again. Precious in the sight of the Lord. I love the Lord because He has heard. Because He inclined His ear to me. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. Then I called in the name of the Lord. For you have delivered my soul from death. Precious in the sight of the Lord. The Lord be with you. Let us bow in prayer. Almighty God, by your great goodness, mercifully look upon your people, that we may be governed and preserved evermore in body and soul through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Our Old Testament reading today comes from Ezekiel chapter 37, beginning with verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and He brought me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And He led me around among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And He said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then He said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live, and I will lay sinews upon you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are clean cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
O come, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Our epistle reading this morning comes from Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If in the fact the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. In you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us stand. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 11th chapter. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again? Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him." After saying these things, he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover." Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought he meant taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus has died, and for your sake I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us go, that we may die with him." Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet will he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in the spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips and his face wrapped with cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary, had seen what he did, believed in him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Now let us confess our faith by reciting the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again according to the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Well, we're coming to the end of Jesus' earthly ministry at this point, when this arguably the greatest miracle of Jesus takes place. The Gospel of John calls them signs. And of course, no one of the Gospels records all of the miracles that Jesus did. John is kind of interesting in that he has seven signs. And so this is the last great sign before Jesus' death and resurrection. Of course, in Jesus' ministry, it's been building. He's come to the end of his time, or he's nearing the end of his time. And the more he's done, the more great, wonderful miracles and signs he's done, the more opposition has come upon him. He has gotten to the point where he's got to be very careful where he goes. Herod Antipas, it says in the scriptures, has been looking for him, wanting to kill him. He has spent less and less time in Galilee and certainly down in Judea around Jerusalem. He's gone up to other areas. Judea is a Roman province governed by Pontius Pilate. And of course, Galilee and Perea it's a client state ruled by Herod Antipas. But he's stayed clear of both places quite a bit. And he's increasingly been in the Decapolis, been up farther north, up into Lebanon and all of that area. And now he's come back down, and of course his own disciples are worried about it. We read that in the scriptures. They're concerned because where's Bethany? 2 miles. 2 miles from Jerusalem. That's not very far, even when you're walking. It may seem like quite a while when you're walking, but 2 miles even walking isn't all that far, especially if you're used to walking. And so it's just a stone's throw practically from Jerusalem, where the opposition, the people who are opposed to him, are at. So he's very close friends, obviously, with Lazarus and Mary and Martha. And so Lazarus gets sick. We don't know what it is he's sick from, but he ends up dying. So Jesus comes to Bethany. He comes. And this is probably a lot of people's favorite passage, or one of them. Certainly one of mine. Because you see the heart of Jesus so clearly here, don't you? You see it a lot of times, but you really see it here, especially where this is the shortest verse of the Bible is in this, where it simply says, Jesus wept. It talks about the love that Jesus feels for Lazarus and Mary and Martha. And when he sees all the weeping, when he sees all the pain that death inflicts, when he sees all of the suffering, Jesus can't help himself. He knows that Lazarus is not going to stay dead. He knows that that's not the last word, and yet in spite of that, Jesus weeps. And that's not just that one little verse. It says in several places, he's deeply moved. He's deeply troubled in his spirit. Jesus hates death as much as we do. So he says to Mary and Martha, show me where you've laid him. Roll away the stone. In some ways, this is a greater miracle than Jesus' own resurrection, isn't it? Because Jesus was resurrected on the third day. Lazarus has been dead 4 days. 4 days. A long time to be in the tomb. So he says, roll away the stone. Believe. Sometimes I don't like the way that it's always translated as believe, and yet, you know, what's crucial is not belief, it's faith. I think there's a difference. What about you? What do you think?
To suggest to me in English, to believe is, oh yeah, I believe in Jesus. But what we need is faith, right? Faith. We are saved by grace through faith. Faith is more. Faith is where you're putting everything. You're putting all your eggs in that basket, right? Faith is where, here I stand, I'm standing in faith, rather than, oh yeah, I believe. Jesus says to Mary and Martha, believe. Have faith. Because why? Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. I don't have the right words to say. I don't have a magic, spell to pronounce. No, I am God in human flesh. I am the embodiment of creation. So simply look at me. Keep your eye on me. Have faith in me. And you'll see the glory of God. And you'll see it manifested. And they roll away the stone. And Jesus doesn't do anything except what? Says a couple of simple words. Lazarus, come out. You wonder what he looked like? I think he was kind of a fearsome looking, you don't see people resurrected every day, number one. But and it even describes what he looks like. This is how in Jesus' day they buried people. They'd put you in a, kind of a long cloth. And they put a napkin over your head and everything. And it sounds like that's how he stumbles out of the grave, looking what we would think of as a ghost, kind of like a sheet, kind of like a ghost, right? But he's not a ghost. He stumbles out there and Jesus says, let him loose. Take the stuff off of him. He's alive. He's alive. But the interesting thing about this, I think a lot of times when we read the miracles of Jesus, we often sometimes think, well, how could they be so stupid as to not believe? Don't you think? We see the miracles, we see the things that go on, and we think, well, yeah, if I was there, I would have believed for sure. Well, don't be so quick to say that. We're such sinners. And it's always amazing when you see this. It says some have faith in Jesus. It says some have faith in him when they see that he is the author of life, that he's risen Lazarus from the dead. But it also, the amazing thing it says, others obviously didn't believe. You always wonder, how do you argue with a live person standing here who's been dead for four days, and yet that's what you've got? Some of them go and run to the Pharisees. And what's the response of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the chief priests, the people who are supposed to be the religious leaders in Jerusalem, they're supposed to be the religious leaders of the Jews? They gather together in a council. And the interesting thing about that is that they don't even question whether it's a real miracle. It's as though they take it for granted. Yeah, okay, well, he raised Lazarus from the dead. Now let's figure out how we're going to kill him. Okay. That speaks to the depth of sin in the human condition, doesn't it? It really does. What are they blinded by? They're not blind. It's not that they don't see the miracles. It's not that they don't see these things. They don't even question that a lot of times. No, the thing is they don't want it to be true. That's the depth of sin. They want to be in control. It's the same sin as Adam and Eve, right? They wanted to be like God, knowing good and evil. That's what Satan tempted them with. And the chief priests and the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin, that's what their priority is. They're in control. Everybody looks up to them. Yeah, I'm the high priest. Yeah, I've got control of the temple. Yeah, I've got control of the people in Judea, basically, because that's one thing we don't think about. But, you know, Pilate didn't just rule everything. He was just the Roman prefect. The Sanhedrin is really the governing body underneath Pilate. So they've got the power. They're making the money off the temple. They've got everything they want, I guess. And they're concerned that if Jesus continues on, that the Romans are going to take all that away from them. And that's an actual likelihood, because the Roman prefect did often replace the high priest. So they're wanting to retain their control. Faith doesn't even enter into their minds. Instead, they want their own self-interest. And, you know, it's the same way with us. Well, you know, it's especially important when we come to faith. Obviously, we have to have faith when we come to Jesus. And we are confronted, in a sense, with the life the way it is, and then there's the eternal life of Jesus. But the trouble is, if you accept Jesus, you are being called to die to yourself, to die to your old self, to leave behind that and to take up your cross and to follow Jesus. And that's not something that sinful human beings can do apart from the power of the Holy Spirit enabling us to have faith. But, you know, even after we come to faith, as Christians, every day, in a sense, we face that in a small way. Every day we have the choice of either living for Jesus or serving ourselves. And isn't it the sad thing that as Christians, too often we still are focused to at least some degree on our own self-interest and wanting to control our own lives and everything. And yet Jesus stands before us every day and says, have faith in me. Have faith in me, because not only is it the truth, not only am I the resurrection and the life, but everything will work out a whole lot better if you just follow me, if you just have faith in me instead of trying to follow your own designs. How well did it work out for the chief priests and the Pharisees and the Sadducees? They want to be God. They want to be in control. They want their money. They want their power. Did they keep it? It didn't work out so well for them, did it? And that's the sad thing of sin and being human. When we follow the wrong way, is that, you know, we pay a price for it. And sometimes as Christians we even do that. We have faith in Jesus, we're saved, we have eternal life, and yet sometimes we make the wrong choice and we try to, in various ways, to grab a hold of our own life or to direct things, and it doesn't end well for us in small ways or bigger ways. So we should constantly keep in mind faith, faith every day. Am I moving in faith? Am I living in faith? Or am I trying to grab control again? Let us remember, faith is the cornerstone of everything. Amen. Now let us worship God with the giving of our tithes and offerings.
Cast me out away.
Let's bow in prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord, you raised your Son, sent your Spirit. Sustain us while we await Christ's attention to our present needs. Give strength to our prayers, heal our weaknesses, and restore all our losses. Give us faith throughout our days in Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of hosts, breathe your life into your church, that she may stand by your strength and live according to your word. Lay your hand on men of every era to proclaim your word and to bring life to the downtrodden, the faithless, the fearful, and the outcast. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, you have visited your creation in your Son. Grant that our homes would always receive him, and that husbands and wives and brothers and sisters would rejoice to hear his promises, steadfastly believing them, ever living in their light. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of all, you are the true source of life, which you give through the power of your Spirit. Humble those who are given authority over the lives of our people, that they would discharge this duty honorably in accord with your will. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, the ones you love are ill and in need. Your holy care, Lord, we especially lift up to you the many people on our prayer list, Annie Mae, Pastor Scott and Judy, Robert, Alfred, Jeff, Katie, and Violet, Sandra, Dean, Barbara, Scott, Bob, Don and Donna, and all those in our hearts and on our minds that we have not listed verbally, Lord, we lift them up to you. Make haste to help them, spare their lives on the last day. Call them from their graves and unite them to you and to all your saints. Lord, in your mercy. Holy Father, in baptism you have given the new birth of water and Spirit. Make your children strong in your Spirit that they may shun the works of the flesh and live in this world expecting the resurrection and life of the world to come. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord be with you. It is truly, or lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name evermore, praising you and saying, let us bow in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my New Testament sealed in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Let us bow in prayer. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same gift, same in faith towards you and in fervent love towards one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.